my fingernails, I almost put it on the screen, but I didn't do that. I've had my fingernails painted, my toenails painted, I've had makeup all over my face. I've been willing to lose a lot of dignity, all for the sake of building a relationship with my three girls. I like this a definition of somebody said, a father is someone who carries photographs where his money used to be. I think that's a great definition of a person who exchanges one thing for the sake of another. And I know, though, everyone didn't have a father like that. But the message that I want to convey to everyone tonight is that we have a heavenly father like that. You see, it is in God that we have a father who was willing to give up. He was willing to lose, if you will, his one and only son to a cross for the sake of the ability to have a relationship with us. And I think it's worthwhile for us to consider tonight some of the words that are found in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 9. In Matthew chapter 6 at verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so here in this teaching, Jesus is talking about beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by men. And he uses the Pharisees and how they were hypocritical in their actions. But Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. And he begins to teach his disciples, pray then like this. And sometimes we call this the Lord's Prayer, but I think it's better called the model prayer or the disciples' prayer, because this is Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, remember, preaching to his disciples, and he's telling his disciples, this is how you should pray. And so tonight, I want us to consider these opening words in this model prayer, not from the aspect of learning what it means in our prayer life, but just learning what it means in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. I just want to share with you four truths from this phrase tonight, Our Father in Heaven. And the first thing that I want you to see is this: God desires to be our Father. Now, we have to appreciate the significance of Jesus telling his very first disciples to refer to God as Father. We have to appreciate that that was a revolutionary, radical thing for Jesus to do that. Though the gospel was written in Greek, the language that Jesus spoke of his language would have been Aramaic. And in Aramaic, the equivalent of the term father was the term Abba. And it's important for us to know something as well about that. That Abba, that term was a term of endearment. That's an everyday family word in that culture where children would use that to address their fathers. It's much like you fathers when you come home and your child runs up to you and says, Daddy. They would say, Abba. It's a term of intimacy. It's an expression of love. Now, no Jew would ever dare to refer to Jehovah God in such an informal, intimate way as that. In fact, when you think about the Old Testament, God is only referred to as Father just a dozen or so times. But yet, here in this context of Jesus, when he's speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he is telling his disciples for us to address God as Father. And Jesus uses this term for God all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, if I had time, we could go through all of the instances in the Gospels where Jesus refers to God as his Father. He would say, my Father and I are working, over and over again. In the Gospels, we see Jesus referring to God as Father. But the kicker is this, the interesting thing that we have to grasp on what it means for us tonight is that not only did Jesus refer to God as his Father, well, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus commands, he encourages us to refer to God as our Father as well. And you think about that. I mean, you just think about the greatness of God. And think about all of the terms, all of the titles, all of the descriptions of God in the Bible. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is the horn of salvation. He is our rock. He is our shield, our hiding place. But yet, of all the things that God has called, Of all the titles of God that refer to his might and his power, here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus calls his disciples to address God as Father. The most intimate title of all. This is the one that the Son of God himself instructs us to refer to God by. And it teaches us something about the Father's desire. You see, I really want us to grasp this tonight. That God desires for us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. That's grounded. It's rooted right here in what Jesus has to say. That he desires for us to address him, to go to him, and to refer to him as Father. You know, we have some families here in Vestavia. We have some very precious children in our congregation that have been adopted. In our church family, we have that precious children. Maybe in your own family, you have adoption. Maybe you've been adopted. I have a cousin that has adopted 12 children. And when you think about adoption, I think there's something very special and there's something very profound about adoption. Now, having children biologically is certainly a wonderful thing. And you can go to the scriptures and you can see some great teaching and examples of what we learn from biologically having children and the spiritual connections with that. But I want to show you for just a few minutes the spiritual connections with the concept of adoption and what we learn from scripture in that. You know, for some people, having children biologically comes easy. Maybe you'll hear someone act as if it was an unplanned pregnancy. But when you think about adoption, have you ever heard of an unplanned adoption? I can tell you, my cousin that's adopted those children, none of them were unplanned. They all took a great amount of effort and care and concern. There was so much energy and so many things that were involved in that adoption. And so I want you to grasp that tonight, that there is no such thing as an unplanned adoption. Whether you've gone maybe to a foreign country or you've just gone across the state to adopt a child, that was a very special time. You had to plan. You had to spend resources all in the name of going after that beautiful child made in the image of God. And so when you think about adoption, it really conveys the nature of God in the story of the gospel so clearly. And that leads me to what I'm trying to get at is the second point, which is not on the screen. We have an opportunity, it probably is somewhere, we have an opportunity to be adopted through Jesus Christ. Okay? We have the opportunity to be adopted through Jesus Christ. This whole title of God being called our Father expresses really the whole reason, the purpose behind why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. What did Jesus come to this earth for? To seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to this earth in order to reestablish the relationship that God desires to have with all of us. Let me show you a few passages. Galatians chapter 4. At verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, you are a son. And if a son, than an heir through God." See the concept of adoption that Paul mentions here in Galatians. But once again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love," watch this, "he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will." You see a theme here? One more in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You see, when Jesus tells us to pray to our Father in heaven, he begins to express the intimate relationship that God desires with all of us. And all of that is made possible. The only reason that we can have a relationship, an intimate relationship with the God of heaven, is through Jesus. Notice in John chapter 1. There it is. In John chapter 1 at verse 12. Verse 11 says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But, verse 12, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, that's all who receives Jesus, all who believe in his name. That gives the right for us to become children of God. It's only through Jesus. Back in Ephesians 1, did you notice that? In love, around verse 5, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons. How? Through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And one more in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, do you see a theme here? Remember I said that in adoption there's planning that is involved. There's often a payment that is involved. But what we learn from these scriptures is that Jesus is the path to a relationship with God, that intimate relationship. Jesus is the plan for us to be adopted as a child of God. Jesus is, in fact, the payment for us to have a relationship with God. There's no greater way to honor God today than by acknowledging and receiving the Son of God, and as Doy said this morning, submitting to the lordship of God's Son. Someone may say, well, why do I really have to make a choice about this? I mean, isn't, in a sense, everyone who's born a child of God? Well, we're all made in the image of God. We talked about that a week or so ago. But I think we all realize that you can father a child biologically. It's a whole other thing to accept that child and raise that child to have a relationship with you. Those are really two separate. Those are two separate things. We have children biologically, but then we make the decision to have a relationship with them. We take the actions to have a relationship with them, to raise them, to bring them up, to nurture, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, to nurture a relationship with our children. But you think about God. God has done the very same thing. We all are every human being is made in the image of God, but God has made a way, or God has stepped out, if you will, to say, yes, I'm the father of all mankind. I'm the creator of everyone. I'm the creator of everything. But I want you to know that I desire to have an intimate relationship with you. And that relationship has been severed because of sin. But what God teaches us through the gospel is that in Jesus, he has made the payment. He has provided the way or the path for us to go back to the Father and have that intimate relationship with him. He loves us that much to do that. We should all feel special about that today. But the thing is, he's given us all a choice. He's given us all a choice whether or not we will have that relationship with him. One of the greatest gifts God has given us is the freedom of choice. We have free will. We can choose whether or not to receive Jesus the Son and accept the payment and the path to have a relationship with God, or we can reject Jesus the Son. You see, God will not force us to choose him. Maybe you've read stories. I read a story a while back about a boy who was in some country overseas. Maybe it was Russia, and there was a family that was interested in adopting him. They spent a great deal of time and energy and effort to try to make that happen. And eventually, when the time came for him to go home with his adoptive parents to the United States, at his age, he could either accept the adoption or reject it. And at the very last moment, he chose to reject the adoption. Of course, those parents, that couple, they were devastated by the choice that young boy made. But he grew accustomed to his living conditions, and those conditions were home. And I tell you that story to say that although God has stepped out, although God has reached out and provided the path and the payment for us all to have a relationship with him, there are some who choose not to be adopted and to become a child of God. And as much as that breaks the heart of God, he still gives us all the freedom of choice. He'll do everything that he can in so many ways to show his love for us. The ultimate way is his son on the cross. But I want you to understand that through Jesus, we can be adopted as his child. And our adoption means that we are loved like Christ is loved. What this adoption offers is a better life. It offers us purpose. It offers us true greatness as defined by God. It offers us a life of joy, a life of peace. It offers us a life of humility. And he offers us a life that will last forever. And all of that is possible through Jesus Christ. But the next, let me share this with you. What we learned from that phrase, our Father in heaven, is that our Father has an eternal perspective. Remember, we are addressing our Father who is in heaven. That tells us something about where God resides, right? And so if God resides in heaven, well, of course, his perspective on everything is different than the way we see things here on this earth. Our reality is more often the material, the things that we can see, or the circumstances around us. But what we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Doy mentioned this morning is that there are things that are eternal, not just the temporary. There are things that are eternal. And we have to remember that heavenly dimension, that there is a reality of the eternal things. And that's where God resides. That's where God lives. That's where God operates, in that dimension. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in circumstances where we only look at things through the lens of this earthly perspective. Only through the lens of what we can see here on earth. Just like a loving father, God, our loving Father, evaluates things from a spiritual perspective. He evaluates things from an eternal perspective. And so when we say and we pray, our Father in heaven, we are acknowledging a couple things. We're acknowledging, one, that he is the creator of all things and that he has power over everything. He's in heaven. He is in control of everything. But we also acknowledge the fact that from his perspective, from his vantage point, he allows things into our life that will help us benefit spiritually. We have to come to see this in our relationship with God. That God views things from a spiritual, heavenly perspective. He has a long-term agenda for us, if you will. He acts upon that heavenly agenda. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't ask God for physical things that we need. I mean, just think about the prayer that goes on. Give us this day our daily bread. We can certainly go to God for the physical things that we need in life. That's okay. Will God intervene, though, in everything that we ask him for exactly as we do, as we ask him? Will he do that? Sometimes he answers our prayers with a yes. Sometimes he doesn't, right? But when he doesn't answer according to our plan, can we still count on God being at work in our lives for the sake of what is best for us spiritually? And you know where I'm going, to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that for those that love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. What is that good that God works out in all of our lives for those that love Him? It is our good spiritually. The things that really matter in this life. That's what Scripture promises us. That even in the midst of all these things, even in the midst of all of this bad stuff that we see around us, God is at work and can bring about good in our lives from His heavenly agenda that we oftentimes don't see. You see, sometimes in our immaturity, it's the same way if you have kids, if you have little kids, it's the same way at our house. Sometimes you just have to tell our kids that you're just not mature enough to grasp why I'm saying no. You don't get it yet, but mom and dad are looking at things from the long view. We're not just living for the moment, living for the night. We're living for the future. And as children of God, we oftentimes maybe get a little bit immature and we get upset as wondering why God isn't doing this or He isn't doing that. But God is saying to us, I'm looking at the long term. I'm going way farther out than you're going. That's the perspective that our Father has. And when we understand that, I think it can really help us grow in our relationship with Him. Now, this last point that I want to give you, you might say, that's great. I know I have a Father in heaven, but you know, at times I just need somebody to talk to. I just need some relationships. Well, God has provided for that as well. The last point that I want to bring you just as a wrap up here is this. Since God is our Father, we are family. We are family. You notice that? Our Father in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Give us this day our daily bread. This is about a relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, I'm not an only child in a spiritual family. There's no only child in this family. Through our adoption, we gain relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I got to tell you, I'm thankful for those relationships. I am thankful for those relationships. I'm thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful for everyone who's watching, everyone who's a member of this church. You know, Father's Day is a little different for me this year. I didn't buy a tie and send it to my dad. He might like ties more than I did. So it's a little different for me this year. But you know, I think about all the men. And all of you, all of my family here at Vestavia, that means so much to me, that I have relationships with, that express love to me all the time. And I hope that I do the same thing. And that we have these relationships with one another, that we all have the same Father. We all cry out, Daddy. And we all are in this together. Jesus once said in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. I mean, there are mothers and there are fathers within the body of Christ. There are sons and there are daughters in the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And just think about the spiritual resources, even physical resources, and spiritual resources that are found in our family here. And the reality that because we all have the same daddy, we're family. We're family. Jesus has come to make all that possible. Not just so that we can be adopted by God the Father, but that we can find a place in the family of God. Brain sounds beautiful. I hope tonight that you come to see just how special of a relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. How special that is that we can call Him our Father, that we can address Him at any time and cast our cares upon Him. And I hope you know tonight that He wants to be your Father. You could be here tonight. You may not have been yet baptized into Christ. You might not have that relationship with God. But I hope you see through Scripture and through the gospel that God has provided the payment and He's provided the path through Jesus Christ in order for you to have a relationship with Him. Let's just praise God that He has provided the way. If we can help you in any way with your relationship with God, we want to help you. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. Let's be mindful of these things as Joel leads us in our song.